and report that God is faithful. God is worthy to be trusted. God is our refuge and strength, very present help in time of trouble. I want to speak to you this morning about learning to lean on the Lord and the times where we learn about that. And we're going to entwine this little message around the story of Jacob in the Bible. So I want to start with Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 10. Verse 9 talks about Jacob just a little bit. Deuteronomy 32 and 9, for the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him. Who found who is what we want to know in this verse. He found him in a desert land. Now I believe that this is saying that God found Jacob in a desert land. And in the waste howling wilderness, he led him about, he instructed him. God led Jacob about in this wilderness. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him. And there was no strange God with him. This tells about God dealing with Jacob, or Jacob's descendants is still called Jacob in the scriptures. We'll find that out. The Israelites. He found him, or God found his people in the wilderness. In the waste howling wilderness, in a desert place, it says. That's where God found his people. Time and time again in the history of God's people, God found them. He located him. He discovered them. He came and searched for them and looked for them and found them where they were, in the wilderness. We are God's people today. We are Jacob. We are Israel. Israel, remember where the word Israel came from? It was the second name that God gave to Jacob. If you'll turn to Genesis 28, let's start here with the story of Jacob as it intertwines in this message about the wilderness. Jacob had been a deceiver. He had played tricks on his mother and his father. And he had made his brother very angry. He tricked his brother out of the birthright, which was the blessing that was to come from the father of wealth and good fortune that was to come to the firstborn son. And Jacob was one of twins that were born to Isaac and Rebekah. He wasn't born first. His brother was born first. He was the twin who was the oldest, just born just a few minutes before Jacob. But when they got older, Jacob played a trick on Esau, the oldest, and he tricked him out of the birthright blessing. And for that, Esau was very angry with Jacob, and he decided to kill him. Well, Jacob ran. He ran into the wilderness, and his brother was after him. This is where God found him. Jacob, as he was running, got very tired. He laid down, and he fell asleep, and he had a dream. Can anyone tell me what Jacob dreamed? What did Jacob see? He lay down and he put pillows for his head. And they weren't soft pillows. They were what?
Rocks.
He put stones for his pillow. And he lay down and he went to sleep on those stones. And he had a dream. In Genesis 28, Jacob rose up early in the morning. Well, that's not where I want. That's the end of the story. At the beginning, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran, and he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth. And the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. That's quite a dream, isn't it? Where you see a beautiful ladder reaching all the way up into heaven. And it's the bottom of it is on the ground. That'd be a tall ladder, wouldn't it? So it was a very majestic dream. Not only that, but there were angels going up and down on the ladder. And what was the most majestic thing? The Lord stood above it and said, so he saw the ladder, he saw these angels going up and down on the ladder, and he heard a voice. God said, I am the Lord God of Abraham and thy father, and the God of Isaac. Abraham was Jacob's grandfather, and Isaac was his father. And here, the voice that he heard at the top of the ladder, above the ladder, he heard God's voice saying, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God gave Jacob the same blessing that he had given Abraham and Isaac. He spoke to Jacob. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land, for I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. What a wonderful dream where God says, I'm with you, I'll keep you, and I will not leave you. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. He was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillow and set it up for a pillar, and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow and said, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give a tenth unto thee. So Joseph, or Jacob, made this vow to the Lord in this place where he had seen the Lord. It caused him to worship and to promise the Lord. Everything that God gave him, he was going to give back a tenth or a tithe to the Lord. This wasn't something that somebody told him he had to do. It was a free will offering. He gave himself to the Lord. And this was, he said, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven. He called the name of it Bethel. Beth means house. El is the name for God. House of God. And so, that is the beginning, one of the earliest places of Jacob's relationship with God. He was running. He was fleeing from the anger of his brother. He was fleeing from the result of his sin. And he met God, and God found him. And God spoke to him and told him he wouldn't leave him. You know, people today, they meet God at different places in their lives. Many times, it's the place of failure and running. When God is looking for you, God is wanting to meet with you, and he's right there at your place of running and failure. He meets you. He finds you. Where does God find us? Many, many times. He finds us at our places of weakness and need and sin. He discovers us. He comes to meet with us there. And that's what happened with Jacob. We can read about that in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 1. Look what this says. Well, it's Hosea chapter 12 and verse 4. Down in the verse at the last sentence, he found him in Bethel. The scripture we started out with says, he found him in the waste howling wilderness. That's where Bethel was. It was in the wilderness. But he found Jacob. And he appeared to him, and he spoke to him, and he promised him, said, I will never leave you. I'm going to give you this land. I am going to be with you. I am with you. How many times does this happen to us in our wilderness journey? The Lord finds us. Have you ever been found by the Lord in those places? I have. Lord, I don't know what to do. I'm in trouble. And I don't have anything to eat. Look at Psalms 107. It's either 106 or 107. I may not have it quite right. Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. Hungry, they found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men should praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. That's what the Lord has done. He found Jacob in Bethel. Oh, how many times have we been found in Bethel. We have been found in the wilderness. There's a song that says something like that. It says, or like the wanderer, the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone. Maybe not sure of the words, but it says, even there my song shall be, nearer my God to thee. Nearer my God to thee, nearer to thee. That's The author of that song was identifying with Jacob and saying, I've been there. And we all can say, we've been there. We've been at those wilderness places where we didn't have anything to eat and we were thirsty and we were lost and lonely. The Lord found us there. Even there, my song shall be nearer, my God, to thee. Oh, then he got up and he made those stones into a monument. He said, the song goes on and says, even by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee. Can we take our woes, our stones, and raise them up for a monument and a pillar to God? And say, nearer to thee, Lord. There was another place on that journey that Jacob found, or the Lord found Jacob, in Genesis chapter 32. We were just reading in chapter 28. Let's go on. Jacob's journey took a little turn after the latter dream. God said he would be with him. Well, Jacob found a young woman at a well. And he rolled the stone away from the well. And he discovered who the young woman was. She was his cousin. She was his mother's niece. His mother's brother, Laban, had two daughters. This was the younger daughter, Rachel. Jacob discovered her at this well. He moved the stone from the well, and he made it possible for her to feed her sheep and to water her sheep. Her name was Rachel. Jacob loved her and kissed her. And her father promised her to him and said, if you'll work for me 7 years, I'll give her to you. Well, instead, her father tricked Jacob. Just like Jacob had been a tricker, he found a tricker that was more trickery than he was, and that was Laban, his father-in-law. His father-in-law tricked him, and instead of giving him Rachel, who he loved, his father-in-law brought her sister out and gave him to Jacob to marry, and he married her sister. Didn't realize it until the next day that he had married the wrong lady. His father-in-law tricked him. Well, it made Jacob very angry. There was a lot that went on when you're real little, you may not understand it. But just remember this, that Jacob had a lot happen to him, and he again became a fugitive out in the wilderness. And he needed his God. And guess what? God was there. God was there, and he found out, let's see how this goes here. He again met angels. Jacob went on his way, chapter 32, and the angels of God met him. What were the angels of God doing out in the wilderness? The angels of God are sent by God to help people that are in the wilderness. And they were sent by God to help Jacob. The angels of God met him. And Jacob sent messengers, chapter 32, verse 3. Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother. And he commanded them, verse 4, saying, thus shall you speak unto my lord Esau. Thy servant Jacob saith thus, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed there until now. I have oxen and asses, flocks and men servants and women servants. And I have sent to tell my Lord that I may find grace in thy sight. And the messengers returned to Jacob. What'd they tell him? Thy servant, we came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee, and he has 400 men with him. This is what Jacob is now meeting. He's meeting the bad dream that his fears. He's meeting his worst fears. His brother Esau, and with an army of 400. Jacob needed to find God, didn't he? Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which said unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He had divided all of his people and his flocks into two different bands. And he said, I'll send one band to Esau. If he smites that, I still have the other company. We'll escape. So he had a strategy and a plan to deal with his brother Esau. But was it enough? What else did he need? He needed to meet with God. And so he began to pray to God. Verse 11, Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, Lord, I will surely do thee good. He reminded God of his promise. And he lodged there that same night, verse 13, and took of that which came into his hand a present for Esau his brother. 200 she-goats and 20 he-goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 kine or cattle, and 10 bulls, and 20 she-asses or donkeys and 10 foals. And he delivered them into the hand of his servants, every drove by themselves, and said unto his servants, Pass over before me, and put a space between this drove and that drove. And he commanded the foremost, saying, When Esau my brother meeteth thee, and asketh thee, saying, Whose art thou, and whither goest thou, and whose are these before thee? Then shalt thou say, They be thy servant Jacob's. It is a present sent unto my lord Esau. Behold, he is also behind us. And so commanded he the second and the third and all that followed the droves, saying, On this manner shall ye speak unto Esau when ye find him. And say ye moreover, Behold, thy servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the presents that goeth before me, and afterward I'll see his face. Perhaps he will accept of me. So went the present over before him, and himself lodged that night in the company. And he rose up that night and took his two wives, Leah and Rachel, and his two women servants, and his 11 sons, and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over the brook, and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. He was alone in the wilderness again. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now this man was, in fact, the Lord Jesus in the form that he took in those old days when he appeared to people in the Old Testament. They called it an angel, or the angel of his presence in the Old Testament. But it was the Lord Jesus, not as he came in the flesh, but in an angelic form that he took and appeared to people back then. Well, he came to Jacob. He found him in the wilderness. He had found him as he was at the top of the ladder, and Jacob was sleeping at the foot. That was Bethel. He found him at Bethel. Here again, he's at the wilderness. And this place, Jacob called it a different name. We'll read about that in just a minute. Jacob. Well, this man came and he wrestled with Jacob. Now, that would be quite a dream, wouldn't it? To be sleeping along and all of a sudden you're wrestling with a man. You're wrestling. The man is wrestling with you. And it says, when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he couldn't beat Jacob. Jacob was just as strong. And so he just went and he touched him right by his joint of his thigh. He touched him and it crippled Jacob. But Jacob held on to him. Verse 26, and he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh. It's getting to be light. I need to go. Let me go." Jacob would not let him go. And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Please, God, I need a blessing. I will not let you go. I will not let go of you until you bless me." He didn't trick the angel. He didn't manipulate him. He just wouldn't let go. The angel said, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel." See, on this visit, he changed Jacob's name to Israel. "But Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed." Jacob, you're no longer a trickster and a deceiver, but you've learned how to have power with God. You've learned to hold on to God, even though you're crippled, even though you can't walk. You've learned to hold on to God for a blessing. You're Israel now. So God changed his name and he changed him inside. When he crippled him, he changed him on the inside. In our journeys in the wilderness, when God finds us, this is what God does for us. He may cripple us. He may cause loss and grief in our lives when he finds us. But it will change us and we'll become Israel too. We'll learn how to hold on to him until he blesses us. But we'll be changed and we'll be touched in ways in our lives that will never be the same again. This is what God does for us in the wilderness. And we hold on to him and he blesses us. Well, Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore or why is it that you ask after my name?" And he blessed him. He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. Now, first place he called it Bethel, house of God. This is Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." In that time, they all believed if you ever see God and you look in his face, you'll die, because God is so powerful. His light is so bright. We can't live if we see him or touch him. Well, this time, he saw God and God touched him and he said, "I'm still alive. My life is preserved." This place is called Peniel. Because God, I've seen God, and I'm still alive. My life is preserved. It was a miracle. God touched him, crippled him, so that ever after that, he had to lean on a staff or a stick, a cane. He had to walk with a with a Cain after that. And you read about Jacob in the end of his life. The Hebrews writer tells this in Hebrews 11. It says, by faith, Jacob worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. When he was an older man, and he was blessing his descendants, he was leaning on a staff. That meant he was still crippled. God had permanently crippled him and touched him. When he came and he wrestled with him and touched his thigh, God caused him from that time on to have to lean on a staff. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. That lasted the rest of Jacob's life. The visit at Peniel was life-changing and life-transforming to Jacob. It changed his name, it changed his nature, and it changed his body. He had to lean from that time on. When we come to our wilderness places, when we come to Bethel and then to Peniel, and God wrestles with us, and God touches us, and God blesses us, that is the end result. That's what happens to us. We learn to lean. It is in the wilderness that we learn to lean. We find that in Song of Solomon, the book right before Isaiah. Song of Solomon, in chapter 3 and verse 6. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness? Well, let me find it. There's another one. Chapter 8 and verse 5. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? This is what happens to us. We are the Lord's beloved. We are His bride. He leads us, or He finds us, in our wilderness places, and He teaches us to lean. And when we come out of those, we're leaning on His arm. Leaning on her beloved. Who is this that cometh up from the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? It's His beloved. Oh, I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. That's what it says in here. I'm His, and He's mine. Oh, it means a lot for us to encounter God in the wilderness, for Him to touch us, for Him to find us there. And He discovers who we are. What is your name? And we acknowledge who we are. And He touches us. And He changes us and says, your name's not that anymore. Your name is this now. You're not Jacob. You're Israel. You've prevailed and you've had power with God. You held on and wouldn't let go. Jacob didn't play a trick on God and make Him bless him. But he just held on through faith. And through the desperation of someone who is going to pay God's cost, whatever it is, to be able to be blessed of Him. I won't let you go unless you bless me. This is the way that God finds us in the wilderness too. And when we come out of the wilderness, we're leaning on Him. We've quit our own tricks. We've quit manipulating things. We've quit our own works and our own labors. We learn to lean in the wilderness. We learn how to be entirely dependent upon God. That's what the wilderness teaches us. We have nothing else. The wilderness is a hard place. What did we read there in Psalms 107? hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. There's another one. Let me just briefly read it. 2 Samuel 17. This was David. God's children have very frequently been found in the wilderness by God. This time, David was in the wilderness with his men, and they were also fleeing. They were fugitives. They were fleeing from Saul. No, that was not this time. This time he was fleeing from his own son, who was after him and after the kingship, Absalom. David and his men were fleeing from Absalom. It was a very difficult time in David's life, a horrible time. He was fleeing from the results of his own sins, just like Jacob was, and David needed God's help. Verse 24 of 2 Samuel 17 and 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son whose name was Ithra, an Israelite. So, in verse 26, so Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Maker, the son of Amiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite, of Rogelim. These three men, brought beds and basins and earthen vessels. They brought things that David needed to rest and to clean up. They brought all that to David. Barzillai was an 84-year-old man. He loved David, and he wanted to be a friend to David. Sometimes when we get in the wilderness, the Lord not only sends angels and his own presence, but the Lord sends his people to be friend to us. This is very, very precious, how the Lord's people come. They brought basins and beds and vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched vegetables or pulse, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese made out of cow's milk for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. That's how we get when we're in our wilderness times too. Hungry, thirsty, and weary. Another time the children of Israel were in the wilderness was right after God had delivered them from Egypt. And they were right at the Red Sea. Do you remember that time? That's in Exodus chapter 14. Verse 20. They took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. The Lord was leading them in and through the wilderness. That's where they were. God found them, didn't he? He found them, and he was their light by night and a pillar of cloud for a guide by day. And the Lord spake unto Moses, chapter 14 and 1. I just read 13 and 20 and 21 and 22. I'm sorry, I hadn't given you that. But here, continue in verse 1 of chapter 14. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they're entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. That's what the devil, he says about us when he sees us in our wilderness places. He says, aha, I can catch them. There they are, and the wilderness has shut them in. So, what's the wilderness to us? Our times where we feel shut in, where we're hungry and thirsty and our soul faints in us. But that's where God finds us. God is searching for us, and He finds us in our wilderness places. He sees us where we feel shut in. He sees us where our souls are weary and thirsty and hungry. God comes. He sends His angels. He sends His people. And He comes Himself to the wilderness. Thank the Lord. The enemy says, ah, they're in the wilderness. I can get them. But who's there with us? The Lord. Thank the Lord. So, the Lord does great things for us in the wilderness. He touches us. He wrestles with us. He changes us. We learn how to prevail with Him and not let go of Him. And we learn how to lean on Him. That is our blessing that we find in the wilderness. Thank the Lord. Now I want to give you one more. I hope I'm not taking too long. I don't have a way to judge how long I'm being here. I want to give you one more wilderness camper. This one was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Who was that? Jesus. Luke chapter 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from the river Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. From a beautiful baptism where the Spirit of the Lord came down like a dove, He led him into the wilderness. Why does God do that to His Son? Why does God do that with His children? It is the place where we learn to lean. Now this time, I believe Matthew 4 and 1 says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. God led him into the place where he was tempted of the devil. Sometimes we are also led into a place where the enemy can tempt us. He was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And then the devil came to Jesus and he tempted him. Turn these stones into bread. You're hungry. You can make bread for yourself. What did Jesus do? He said, man, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Then the devil took him in a mind vision, in a picture. He took him up on a mountain. Like he took him in his own imagination and showed him in his imagination all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. For that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you will worship me, all shall be thine. He told Jesus, all of the glory and the kingdoms of this world, I can give it to you. Just worship me. Ah, that was the temptation, wasn't it? That's what he tells people today. You can have this world. Just worship me and I'll give it to you. That's what it takes to get the world. I don't want the world. I don't want the world, because that's what it will. If you're tempted today with the glory of this world, with power, with popularity, with the beauty and the glamour, the gold and the jewels, if all that tempts you and it looks appealing to you and you think, oh, I'd like to have this. I'd like to have the world. I'd like to be popular and beautiful and glamorous. Those are things that the Lord, that the devil tempts us with. Whenever we're young, I remember wanting to be like the world when I was little. I didn't realize that to have it, I would have to worship the devil. I didn't realize that, but that's the price of getting this world, is that you fall down and you worship the enemy. How did Jesus answer this? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. How did Jesus answer the temptations of the devil every time? It is written. And you know, when we teach you Bible verses and you learn them, that's your ammunition for when the devil comes and tempts you, so that you can say, it is written. Thou shalt serve the Lord only. Thou shalt worship the Lord only. Thou shalt... He answered the devil every time with what God had said. And when you do that, it's enough to drive away the devil. God's word is enough to give you the victory. Every time, if you'll stand on God's word, if you'll hide it in your heart, and then whenever the enemy tempts you, tell him, no, you get behind me. You get out of my sight. You quit bringing things in front of me, because God said this. God said, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. He answered Satan with God's word. That's what we can do too. When we're in our wilderness places, we can stand on God's word, and it'll get us through. God will help us through his word. He tempted Jesus. He brought him, it says, to a pinnacle of the temple, the highest place on the temple. He said, you jump off of here. And God said he would send his angels. See, the devil quoted scripture to Jesus this time. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So, Satan used God's word against Jesus. Well, Jesus was ready. Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, or it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. This is Jesus' answer to the way that Satan tempted him. Just jump down. God's angels will take care of you. Jesus would not do it. This was a temptation to Jesus to prove. All of these were temptations to prove that he was the Lord. But he would not obey Satan to try to prove that to anybody. He said, no, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He held true to his Father's word and would not throw himself off the top of the temple, even though God had promised the angels will protect you. He knew that they would not protect him if he tempted God. And if you ever have a temptation to do something like that, that would hurt you, you just remember this verse, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And say that to your tempter. Well, Jesus had told him, you get behind me, Satan. And It says in verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. So Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He triumphed. He had victory over the devil. And then the devil left him for a while. And he came back from the wilderness to the place of his ministry. And he began his ministry. So when we're in the wilderness, we're in good company. We have Jesus here with us to fight our battles and to help us with our temptations. There's another scripture about God's people in the wilderness, and it's in Jeremiah 31. And verse 2, thus saith the Lord, the people which were left of the sword. See, God had sent punishment and judgment to his people when they had doubted him and gone and worshipped idols. Many of them God sent judgment. Many of them were carried away into a foreign land and killed with the sword. But this says the people that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Even Israel, when I went to cause him to rest, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Remember that when you're in the wilderness. Say that to the Lord. Lord, you said you wouldn't leave me. You said you would be with me. You said I have loved you with an everlasting love. I know you love me. I know that you're with me. When you're in a place that you feel shut in and where you feel hungry and thirsty and you can't find the Lord, just believe his word. The people who were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. And the Lord said, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Thank the Lord. Just draw close to him in the wilderness and lean on his arm. He's loved you. He still loves you. Being in the wilderness doesn't mean that God doesn't love you anymore. Being in the wilderness doesn't mean you're forsaken. Being in the wilderness doesn't mean that God has left you. He said, I will never leave you. But you can find his pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud to lead you. All of these verses that we have read about God's people in the wilderness, God was there too. God found them there. And he helped them. He was with them in their temptations. They found grace to endure in the wilderness. Thank the Lord. Just desire to encourage all of you today that wherever you are, wherever God has found you today, remember when Hagar was fleeing from those who were after her. The Lord found her in the wilderness. The Lord finds us in our wilderness way. And that's where we learn to lean on him. When we're left alone, when we're hungry and thirsty, the Lord will be there with us. He'll feed us. He'll even send some angels our way. He'll even send some of the people of God our way, like Barzillai. Barzillai was an 84-year-old man, but he said, I'm going to help David. Oh, thank the Lord for the Barzillais in our life. For those who stay faithful to the Lord for a long, long time, and then they come and they just bring a little bit of food and a little bit of comfort our way. Oh, I thank the Lord for the Barzillais in my life. Be encouraged this morning. If you're in a wilderness way, the Lord is with you there. Amen.